So good to be here. And we're going to go to the word of the Lord here this morning. Something I've been feeling in my heart for some time. And we're going to go to the book of Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 13 and starting with verse 24. And I have a little bit of reading here this morning from the scriptures. So just you can write it down if you can't find it and look it up when you get home. Very, very important message here this morning. Matthew 13 and verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares, that would be weeds, among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay or no, lest you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather. Everybody said, gather.
Gather
ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather, everybody said, gather.
Gather
the wheat into my barn. Praise God. It's a little different of a title that I'd like to put on this morning, but it just fits with the message. This morning I have good news and I have bad news.
Amen.
And that's what you can call this morning. I have good news and I have bad news. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, there's good news here this morning. There's good news here this morning. We're going to finish up with that. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the word of God this morning. Thank you for truth. Thank you for your presence. Anoint your word and stir us today to live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Praise God. Have you ever taken your car to a mechanic and they look it over and you receive a call and the mechanic says, we have some good news and we have some bad news? Which one would you like first? Amen. Well, I'm just the kind of person, I like to finish things up on a positive note. And you might say, well, give me the bad news first. Let's find out what the damages are going to be. And, you know, in this world, the mechanic will probably say, well, you need a rebuild on your motor. You need a new transmission, new radiator, and brakes, and whatever else. That's the bad news. The good news is you have good tires. Amen. That's the way things go in this old world, isn't it? And you know by the choices and the tone of voice that you need to brace yourself. Amen. But today I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. But I'm not going to let you choose which one we're going to do first. Amen. I want to get the bad news out of the way. And it is news just as well. And the parable that we read this morning in Matthew chapter 13, it deals with end time prophecy. And it gives us the events that are going to take place within the body of Christ relative to the world. And the gathering together, it gives us events that are going to take place as well at the end of the world. And one of the words that stands out as I was studying for this morning is the word gather. It's there twice in these verses of Scripture. And the word gather there means to collect upon the same place. That same place is the earth. And so there will be a collection. There will be a gathering. And so the two gatherings. Let's look at the bad news first. All right, you ready? Amen. Is everybody braced this morning? All right. When Jesus talked about these things in this parable, you got to understand what he was actually talking about. And the kingdom of heaven is like a man which sowed good seed in his field. Now that's the Lord. The field in Scripture is the world. And the seed is the word of God. Amen. And so when you understand these basic principles or basic truths, when you look at a parable, it makes much more sense. And the man could be anybody. It could be someone starting a church. It could be someone that is sowing the good word of God in your own personal life. Could be preaching that you hear. It could be that the Lord spoke to your heart about something in the Word of God. But the Word of God is to be sown, amen, and to be sown in the world. And then while men slept, when we're not really paying attention, the enemy came, and of course the enemy here is the devil, and sowed tares among the wheat. And so tares and wheat look a lot alike when they're growing up, but they have a different nature about them. And he sowed the tares. The tares would represent false doctrine. It would represent worldliness. It would represent everything that is against the church. We're seeing it right before our very eyes today. The hatred that the world has for the church. And all of the things that are taking place in our world is very, very, very disturbing. And so when he talked about that, he was talking about the false way. The tares would be another way. And so the servants came and they said, "You want us to tear up the tares? Let's get the tares out of here." And he said, "No, let's don't get rid of the tares. Let's grow together. Let the wheat and the tares grow together." And at the time of harvest, I'm going to say to the reapers, and when you look at other parables and where Jesus gave the understanding of those parables, he said the reapers are the angels. And so the angels will come and they will reap. They will gather together. And they will gather the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them. The tares, if you have a stalk of wheat, you've got the seed on the top. The rest of it is considered tares. It's not really very valuable at all. It doesn't do much. You might use it for mulch or something like that. But he said, gather them together and put them into bundles and burn them. And so when we look at this here this morning, we can see that there will be a time when there will be a gathering together. And for those that are not serving God and living for God, this is definitely bad news. And there's going to be a time, and we're living in that time, and I believe we've always lived in that time on this world, where there is opposition, there is worldliness, and all of that. And according to the Scripture, there's going to be a day when there will be a gathering together, when there will be a gathering of the wicked of this world, of those that rejected the truth of God, those that did not commit their lives to God. There will be a gathering together, and they will be burned. I want to talk about that just a little bit this morning. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. And this is John the Baptist talking about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, that would be Jesus, he is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's good news, but here's the bad news. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. In other words, he will separate the wheat from the chaff, and he will gather his wheat into the garner or the barn or the storage bin, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And I looked up that word unquenchable there, and it literally means a fire that cannot be put out. Amen. If you ever get to go somewhere in Pennsylvania, I forget the name of the town, it's coal country up there, and there are veins of coal that go through the rocks, and there is a fire that's burning in that coal. Back in the 70s, they said, 1970s, lightning struck. They had a garbage dump, and the lightning struck the garbage dump, and it caught on fire, and the fire started the coal to burning, and since the 70s, it's been burning, and they tried to put it out with this, that, and the other. They tried to flood, and there was nothing they could do, so they just let it burn. And since the 70s, for probably the last 50 years or more, there has been an unquenchable fire that's been going on. That's exactly what Jesus or what John was talking about here. And there literally is a place, even as we assemble here in a good place, in a place that's called the gate to heaven, there's a place this morning as we gather together where men and women, where humanity that has rejected the Word of God have been cast into and are literally burning with fire this morning. That's bad news. Amen. And it's a place the Scripture calls hell. And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about, of burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And this place called hell, it's a very easy place to go to. There's not much effort that is required. All you have to do is say no. You don't even have to say no. All you have to do is just not do anything at all, you can go to this place. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, Jesus said, "Enter in ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." And so hell is not just a place of fire and torment, but it is a place of utter destruction. And that's exactly what it is this morning, and it's given to us here by the Word of God. And you don't hear a lot of preaching today about hell. You don't talk about these kinds of things from the pulpit usually, but the truth of the matter is, it is a real part of the Word of God. It's a real message that we find in the Word of God. Today, the popular message is a message that God's going to put $1 million in your back pocket, and whatever you ask for, He's going to give it to you, and there's no difficulties, there's no struggles, there's no trials. But the truth of the matter is, if you're going to go to heaven, you've got to make some commitments in your life. Well, somebody help me here this morning. Jude chapter 1 and verse 12. I want to just read a few scriptures here this morning. And Jude is talking about some things that are going on. Yes, even in the body. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And so hell is a place that will be, that there will be blackness of darkness forever. Think about that this morning. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." And you can go through that. I'm not going to elaborate on that here this morning. But those are the kind of folks that are going to be in an eternity without God, in a place that's called hell. Hell is a place that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. But Scripture tells us that because man has rejected God, that hell has enlarged its borders. There has been a construction crew that's been going on to expand the dimensions of hell, to make new chambers. The Bible talks about chambers of death. And to receive the lost of this world, literally billions of people will make their way to that place. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 talks about it as well. And it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And so we see another description of hell as called a lake that burns with fire, or a lake of fire. In one place it is called a bottomless pit, but here we see that it's called a lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone. Brimstone is sulfur, and it has a very, it has an odor to it, and it can cause you to get choked up, but it's going to burn with fire and brimstone. And I would say this morning, when we look at this subject, the bad news, if I could say it that way, anybody with any sensitivity to eternity, when you stop just a little while and you consider this and you meditate upon this, it will make you tremble at the thought of ending up in hell forever and ever. Amen. That's a long time, my friend. There is no time, and it will be for a very, very long time. Right. And if you think that serving the Lord is difficult and it's not convenient, and sometimes it's not convenient, and sometimes it is difficult, and sometimes there are trials and struggles and tribulations that come our way. But the truth of the matter is, we are serving the Lord because we want to go to heaven and be with Him for all of eternity. Praise God. Amen. We're trying to escape the place called hell in the Scriptures. Amen. And if you think serving God is too difficult, or it is difficult in these times that we're living, just stop for a little bit and think about a day and a night in hell, and it'll change your outlook on the things that you're dealing with in your life. Luke chapter 16 and verse 20. Let's look at it a little bit here. "And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores," that would be the rich man's gate, "and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." Now, he's in pretty bad condition, isn't he? And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Notice it tells us that he was gathered up. He went in an upward place. And the rich man also died. That's a common denominator. And he was buried. And so the rich man went down. The beggar went up and the rich man went down. And the Bible says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And so in hell there are going to be torments for eternity. And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And so in hell there are going to be flames of fire for those that chose not to serve God. Amen. This is the bad news here this morning that I want to talk about. And I'd like to just say this. It's worth living your life for God just to escape the flames of hell. Amen. Somebody said amen. Amen. And I would say this morning that you need to give your life to the Lord. Amen. And serve Him while you have an opportunity. You're going to serve Him in a world that's filled with tares. Going to serve Him in a world that's filled with ungodliness and temptations. But I'm telling you this morning, it's worth it to live for God. Anybody experience that? Amen. It's worth it to live for God. It really is. And if you will serve the Lord and be faithful, then you can escape this awful place. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 33, Jesus is talking to the religious leaders. And you say, well, can religious people go to hell? Well, this is what Jesus said. Matthew 23 and verse 33, ye serpents, he called them serpents or snakes, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? And so hell is not just things that happen, it is actually a place of damnation, meaning that it is utter loss, where there is no hope, all hope is gone, and that's the place called hell. And so that's the bad news. One more here. Luke 21 and verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted to be worthy to escape all these things which shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of God. And so we need to be watching and we need to be praying. Somebody said amen to that. We need to be watching and we need to be praying, amen, that we are accounted worthy to escape the judgment of hell for all of eternity. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to that place called hell. Amen. Amen. I don't want to spend my eternity without God, but I want to live with Him for all of eternity. Amen. Amen. Now the good news, amen. The good news, the tires are good on the car. Praise God. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Amen. Now for the good news. On this side of the message, there's going to be a gathering as well. And he's going to gather the wheat into his barn. And this gathering is not going to be like the other gathering where the lost go down and are burned in the flames of hell. This gathering will be put into the barn, and the barn is like a description of heaven. He's going to gather his people together and take them all the way to that place. Praise God. Amen. Scripture calls it Abraham's bosom, Luke 16 and 22. The beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And you can say what you want to about Abraham's bosom, but I think it is a waiting place, waiting for the rapture of the church where the dead in Christ will rise first. then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds. Praise God. And so the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Some people try to overthrow the faith of some to say that gathering has already taken place. But that gathering has not already taken place. We are waiting for the gathering. What a gathering it will be. Praise God. And Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14. Jesus said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now I read the other part of that scripture where he says, broad is the way and many go to destruction. But here we have, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. If you are going to make it all the way with the Lord, there's going to be some narrow spots in your life. Amen. There's going to be what we would call between a rock and a hard place. Amen. Amen. Where you don't know what's going to come tomorrow. You don't know how it's all going to work out. But I'm walking through the narrow place right now. And maybe there's someone here this morning and you're walking through a narrow place in your life. I want you to know, just keep on walking for God. Amen. Just keep on living for God. Because the end result is going to be so worth it. And Jesus talked about the way which leads unto life. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Everybody said life. Hell is described as eternal death. So how do we escape death? We're very saddened this morning. Brother Carricker, our pastor in Hutchison, his dad passed away this last week with COVID, and we're grieving with him. What a godly man he was, lived for God, worshiped God, gave to the work of God. I remember when I was saved in 1974, I went to a camp meeting that the district had over here at the Weed State Camp in Andover. Oh, actually, it's Augusta. And Brother Carricker was the one that was leading songs, and he was jumping up and down, and he was excited, and it wasn't a put-on. He was doing what was in his heart. I remember Brother Scott, who pastors in Arkansas, was traveling somewhere, excuse me, and came through Hutchison and had to stop at Walmart. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, there was Brother Elder, who used to pastor the church, who's went on to his reward. There was Pastor Elder and Brother Carricker buying some paint because they were painting something. And just totally sold out to the work of God, to live for God. Now, I want you to know this morning, that's the will of God for each and every one of us. God's called us to do something for him. Amen. God has called us to be faithful to the house of God. The house of God is the church. The church is the bride of Christ. It is the body. He is the head and we are the body. And we have to give our whole life to him. All right? And so the only way to escape death is to be alive. Now, I know that's real simplistic here this morning, and that's real deep at the same time. But there's only one way to escape death, and that's to be alive. And so life will help us to escape death. And spiritually speaking, we must have life. Amen. We've got to have the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll receive it with the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the river of living or the river of life begins to flow through you. And you are changed. I'm going to talk about that here in just a little bit. But we've got to have the life of God. When we When we repent, we die. We die out to ourself. Amen. When we are baptized, we are burying the old man, the one that died in repentance. We are burying him in the water. But I want you to know that's not the end of the story. We cannot make it until we have life or we are born again. And there is life that comes to us once again. And we escape the penalty of death. The Bible says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy strength? Or something along that line. I want you to know we don't fear death now. Amen. Because we have life inside of us.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. And so, spiritually speaking, we've got to have life here in this life in order to obtain eternal life. And so, you know, some, and we've all probably had this thought at the very beginning, what are we going to gain by serving the Lord in this life? Well, I want to look at a few scriptures here. Revelation chapter 21, that's the last book in your Bible. Revelation chapter 21, and starting with verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. We're talking about good news here this morning.
Amen.
And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, if there's only one reason you're living for God, if you just want to see the Lord, I'll tell you what, it's worth it to live for God just to see him. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Praise God.
Amen.
There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Somebody said, praise God. That's what we're living for God for. That's the reason we have said no to ourselves and yes to God. That's why we're doing the very best that we can to serve the Lord. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Amen. No bills are going to be there in heaven.
Amen.
I got some amens on that one. Amen. There's not going to be any sickness in heaven.
Amen.
There's not going to be any pain. There's not going to be any sorrow. Amen. Why? Because we're going to be with the Lord for all of eternity. And he said, write, for these things, or these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Praise God. And so the only way that we can escape death is to be alive. And so when we look at the contrast here this morning, heaven will not resemble hell in any way. And hell will not resemble heaven in any way. There is a stark contrast. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. Hope you're staying with me here this morning. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. Here's how you can overcome. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Look at this, and they love not their lives unto the death. Praise God. You know, the biggest problems that we have is we love ourselves. Amen. But what we must do is we must die out to ourselves. Amen. And that's the hard way. The way to hell is easy. The way to life eternal, is difficult at times. I'm not putting it down in any respect at all. But I'm just preaching to us here this morning the reality of the matter. You're going to grow up around some tares.
Amen.
And the devil is going to sow those tares. Amen. And so in order to go to heaven and to spend eternity with the Lord, it requires sacrifice.
Amen.
It requires duty. Amen. It requires faithfulness. It requires love for others. It requires forgiveness. And oh, there are so many, many other things. Things that go contrary to our flesh. But that's why the Lord empowers us with the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen?
Amen.
John 14 and verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. We went to an estate sale here this last week. I was feeling good enough to go, and I said, let's go. And they said it's a mansion in Eastboro, Wichita. And I said, I just want to go. I don't care if I buy anything. I want to walk around in a mansion. And when we got all done, I noticed that, of course, I've been a builder. And I noticed that the windows were rotting. And I noticed that there was a lot of work that had to be done on the property. It had obviously been neglected for a long time. And when we got all finished, I said, I'm glad that's not a real mansion. Amen. When we go to heaven, that thing is going to look like a tar paper shack compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. And Jesus said this. He said it as a word of encouragement, as a word of good news. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now listen to this. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Praise God.
Amen.
Telling you this morning, it's worth it to live for God.
Amen.
Give your whole life to God. It will be so, so worth it.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 21 and verse 21. Here's a description of that place where the mansions are going to be. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold. That's where we're going to be. Instead of fire and brimstone and damnation for eternity, we're going to walk on streets that are made of pure gold. And the gold is so pure, it says that the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And so they say that the most purest form of gold is clear, just like glass. And that's what the city is going to be paved with. Amen. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Praise God.
Amen.
Let your imagination get away with you here this morning, and whatever you can imagine, heaven's going to be greater than that. And the nations, notice here, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And so there's not going to be days and nights. It's only going to be day. Praise God.
Amen.
The light and the life of God. Amen. For eternity. And so you might ask the question, how can I be saved? I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this morning, but you must repent of your sins. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody help me this morning.
Amen.
That's for the remission of sins. And you must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I would like to say it this way. We get to repent. We get to be baptized. And we get to receive the Holy Ghost. It's an opportunity. It's a blessing. It is an opportunity of a lifetime. Amen. So I've got good news to bring to you today. And not only are we to repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Ghost, we've got to learn how to give.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God. Give of ourselves to the work of God. We've got to give, and we've got to love, and we've got to pray, and more importantly, we've got to die out to ourselves that we may live unto the Lord. Praise God. I know I'm not jumping up and down and running around, but the message is still relevant for us today. Praise God. And we need to hear this message from time to time. I've got good news to bring to you today. Amen. Jesus Christ is on the throne, and he's still saving and filling and moving in the lives of people. And so I want to give you the final contrast here this morning, found in Revelation 20 and verse 12. And if you'll look at that, I've got a little bit of a reading, and if you'll indulge me here this morning, I'll finish with this. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great. Now these are people that did not have life, because they're dead. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened. So there's going to be the books. Everybody said the books. There are 66 books right here in the Bible. So the books are going to be opened, and the Lord's going to say, did you repent when you had the opportunity? Were you baptized when you had the opportunity? Did you pray when you had the opportunity? Amen. And the dead, they stood before God. And then another book was opened, singular. So you have books, plural, and another book, singular, which is the book of life. I don't want to be in the book of death. I want to be in the book of life.
Amen.
I want to go to life. Anybody with me on that this morning?
Amen.
I know you are. Praise God. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Don't let anybody tell you that God's not interested in your works. He really, really is. We must live for God and give our life to God if we're going to go to that place called heaven. And the sea, notice here, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So hell delivered up everybody in there. Everybody in the grave was delivered up. This is the gathering together, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I don't know about you, but when I meditate on this, it makes me tremble.
Yes.
It stirs my heart. Amen. Because I don't want to go to that place. I want to modify my attitude. I want to modify my way of thinking.
Right.
I want to modify the life that I'm living. Amen. Because I want to be saved for all of eternity. I know that sounds simplistic, but it's so very powerful when you meditate upon it. All right, so the other part of the contrast, Revelation 21, since we're right there. Revelation 21 and verse 10, and it says, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and a high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And so now he's going to describe the place where these mansions are going to be. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the gates were 12 angels, the names written thereon, which are the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. on the north three gates, on the south three gates, on the west three gates. And it gives us a description here. We are built upon the foundation of the Old Testament, and this is the foundation of the New Jerusalem. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So we are built upon the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And the city lieth foursquare, so it's like a cube. All right, measures the same on every part. And the city was foursquare. He that talked to me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof, and the city lieth foursquare. The length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. That's somewhere in the neighborhood of about 2,500 miles. It's going to be half as large as the United States. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of the man. So the wall is going to be 144 cubits thick. That's how thick the wall will be. And it'd have to be that large to hold up that much weight. Amen. 144 cubits. A cubit is a foot and a half. So roughly 210 feet thick is how thick the wall is going to be on that city. You just have to let this get a hold of your imagination here this morning. And the building of the wall, the material that's in the wall, was of jasper. And the city was of pure gold, like unto clear glass. Now just think about this city. If you look up 2,500 miles in any direction, and it's a glass city. It is a city that you can look from one end to the other end, and it's perfectly clear, filled with mansions. I don't know what's all going to be there, but I'll tell you what, I made up my mind at 19 years old, I want to go there.
Amen.
I don't want to be boiling in the flames of hell for eternity. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And then it gives all the different names of the stones, the precious stones. And then it goes on, it says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. So it was a gate made out of a pearl. And the city of the street was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. There's not going to be light switches in heaven, because you won't be able to turn the light off, because Jesus is the light of that city. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Praise God.
Amen.
No more crying in the night. No more struggling in the night. No more weird dreams in the night.
Amen.
I know y'all don't have weird dreams in the night. Amen. But I have weird dreams in the night. Last night I was in Colorado, going down a Colorado stream, and then it switched over and I was in China. Amen. I go to a lot of places. I've been to a lot of places in this world. Amen. No, not going to have to deal with those things anymore. Praise God. And the kings of the earth bring their glory into it, and the they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life.
Amen.
Let's stand together this morning. I just want to be an encouragement to somebody here this morning to live for God and to give your life wholly and completely unto God. Amen. Be faithful to the house of God. Amen. Be faithful in giving to God, because you're going to be blessed by coming to the house of God, and you're going to be blessed by giving unto God. He will give back to you and bless you more than you could ever, ever imagine in your life. Amen. Now's not the time to play church. Now's not the time to play Christian. But yes, the message is still true. We must dedicate. We must commit. We must give everything we have into the work of God. It would be easy for me this morning to have somebody else to come and to preach, but there is laid upon me today a call that says, preach the word. Yes. And if I'm trembling, I'm going to preach the word. If my voice isn't what it should be, I'm going to preach the word. Because it's not me that produces the results, it's the word of God that produces the results. I don't know about you, but I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. Don't go to hell. Don't spend your eternity without God. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you can live any way you want to live and still be saved. That's really not the truth. It's not the truth. Amen. We've got to commit ourselves to God. And 100% I'm living for God. My life is centered around God. My life is centered around the church. My life is centered around people. My life is centered around my children being saved and living for God. Amen. That's the most important thing in life. Can you say amen to that this morning? Come on, let's pray right now. Let's ask for conviction to come into this place. In the name of Jesus. Touch these young people this morning. Touch every mom and dad this morning. Touch every adult that's here this morning. In the name of Jesus, stir our hearts. Stir our hearts, Lord. Stir our hearts, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Many, many, many years ago, I was pastoring in a city in New Bedford, Massachusetts, and my pastor called me. He was pastoring in Boston, and he said, I've got a missionary with me, and he said, we want to come down and have breakfast with you. I said, that would be wonderful. I would love to do that. And there was a breakfast place right there in our town, and they came and we had breakfast together. The missionary's name was Dan Scott, and he was an evangelist and a missionary to South America, and had been in South America for many, many years, was a part of home missions, foreign missions, part of almost every aspect of the Word of God, highly respected, and still alive today. I would like to see him again, because he gave me some words of encouragement to a young pastor that was going through some troubles at that time, and helped me to understand what I needed to understand. And I read just yesterday, I think it was, or the day before yesterday, a prophecy that he said the Lord had given to him. And, you know, a lot of folks have prophecies and all that. But when I read the prophecy and I knew the kind of man that it was coming from, I said, I've got to heed this. I've got to pay attention here. And I don't have the words to it. I wished I would have brought them with me. But the gist of the prophecy is that the Lord was showing him that America is going to go through a time of unprecedented trouble. And the church is going to be pressed upon. And the church is going to suffer and go through tribulation. But there would be a revival. And the backsliders would come back. And people would come to God. And he said, but the end is not yet. He said, all these things are going to come to pass right before his second coming. Praise God. I'll tell you what, I feel the Holy Ghost just talking about it here this morning. Amen. Amen. We've got to give our lives to God. You got to make up your mind that it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. No matter what's happening, I've made a commitment to God. I'm living for God. If all the young people backslide, I'm going to stay in and I'm going to live for God. And they're not going to backslide, all right? We've got some tremendous young people. But I want you to know, if trouble comes, let it come. I'm living for God. Bad times come, let them come. I'm living for God. I'm going to keep things right in my spirit and in my heart. And I'm going to serve God with all of my heart. Praise God. Lord, I thank you this morning for each and every one that's here. In Jesus' name, help us through these times. Help us, Lord, to draw near unto you. In the name of Jesus, I pray this morning. If you want to come and pray, it's a tremendous time and opportunity. While we sing this morning, if you just want to step out, I know we come to the altar an awful lot. It doesn't mean that you're a rank sinner, but it just means I want to go back again and pray and seek the Lord one more time and receive more from God than I've received up to this point. So while we sing it, why don't you come and let's just spend a little bit of time this morning. We still have some time to talk to God and let the Lord speak to your heart. And let the Lord say, you need to give this up. You need to turn from that. You need to consecrate more and let God speak to your heart. Praise God.